warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles, and we are not in studio. We are at the 2018 Men's Into the Breach Conference here in beautiful, beautiful Phoenix. Dave, it's been really tough. It's been really tough so far. The weather's been 80. The sky is blue. The palm trees are beautiful. It's been a tough cross to bear here in Phoenix.
Somebody's
in February.
Yeah. It's going to be tough to go home.
Yeah, that's really what it is, because Tulsa is not this pretty at this time.
No.
When they asked us to come out here, we were thinking, you know, Phoenix in February, I'm in.
Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah. So welcome to the Catholic Man Show. If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. Three things we do, Dave. What are they?
The first thing we do is we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. Second thing we do is highlight a man gear of some kind. And then we have what some call is the most manly conversation of all time.
Yeah, we won actually the award for most manliest podcast this week yet again.
Yeah.
This is about 80, maybe 90 in a row.
Yeah.
90 weeks in a row.
Yeah, but we give out the award, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this is going to be a lot of fun. We really appreciate all of the guys who have helped us be at the End of the Breach Conference. It's been a whole lot of fun. Steve and Brian, and all the guys that are a part of the crew have been nothing but great to us. Brad has been great to us. I think what we'll start off doing is the man beverage.
Yeah, let's get into it.
That's typically what we do. Like Dave said, we don't do an alcoholic beverage today. We typically do a whiskey or a beer of some sort and review it on air. But today we're doing a coffee. This coffee is St. Focus Dark Roast by Catholic Coffee Club. Catholic Coffee Club. St. Focus is our drink this afternoon. So Dave, we're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
So what are your thoughts? You took a sip.
It's really, really good. So I drink a lot of coffee. Typically, I just drink the terrible office coffee, whatever is there.
Right.
You know, it's more about utility than enjoying the coffee. So whenever I do get to have a nice cup of coffee, it's just really
a treat.
Yeah, I really appreciate it because it's just not my typical experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not only is this a good coffee, but it's made by Catholics, which is awesome. I love being able to support Catholics. No? It's not working? Oh, it is? Okay. Oh, it's not working? Okay, we'll get that fixed here in just a minute. The coffee is absolutely delicious by Catholic Coffee Club. It's called St. Focus Dark Roast. The Catholic Coffee Club came into fruition because a guy decided that he wanted to help healthcare for priests, long-term healthcare with priests. And instead of trying to ask for a second collection or trying to go to the diocese for money, he took it on his own initiative to say, no, I'm going to go do something else to raise money to help priests.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so he started the Catholic Coffee Club. So you can go to CatholicCoffeeClub.com, you can sign up, we have 200, they've generously given us 200 samples, everybody can have one, everybody here at the conference can have one. It's really, really good coffee. You guys don't have to take my word for it. All you have to do is grab a sample.
So this coffee is, would you say it's a medium body?
It's a dark roast.
It's dark roast.
Dark roast.
It's full body, I guess.
Yes.
Well,
I'm not like a...
Oftentimes when I hear dark roast, I think bitter, you know, it tends to be harsher.
It is not bitter.
This isn't any of that, so that's why I guessed medium roast.
Right, it's not bitter at all.
Really flavorful, but it's not bad. You know, sometimes coffee, especially if you leave it out, it just gets bad.
Yeah, it really does. But this tastes really fresh. It comes ground, which is nice because it, sometimes ground coffee loses its freshness. This does not. It's really, really good. Yeah, guys, take a couple of them. Take a couple of them if you'd like. Dave, sometimes whenever we do the Catholic Man Show, people ask, you know, why are you drinking on air? And I think it'd be a good idea to kind of...
Give
that reason, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, usually we're drinking a beer or a whiskey. And when we tell people that we're drinking on air, sometimes we get some funny looks. And the reason we do that, there's actually many, many reasons. One of the reasons is that we want to try to embrace the finer things in life. And we want to be able to do that in the right way. So God created the things of this earth good, and they should be enjoyed for their goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And that means enjoying them not only in the right way and in the right times, but in the right amounts. That's pretty much true for anything. So we try to highlight the virtue of temperance with our manly beverage. Because temperance is something that is not really exemplified well in the culture. People tend to go all in with something and just, you know, gobble it up, or they tend to just be totally anti-everything.
Right.
So the middle ground is just an absent, absent from the culture. So we always want to drink in moderation. And also, there's a lot of really good drinks out there, and part of the Catholic Man Show, we want to highlight the quality, the really good stuff, because a man should be, his substance should be quality.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why we drink on the air. And also, we just really like it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it is something that we decided to do. We can talk about that a little bit later, but the reason why we started doing that is because of a men's group that we were in. The men's group that we had, where we would, enjoy a beer, a pint of beer, or a dram of whiskey, and it was a lot of fun to talk about the stories behind the beer, the stories behind whiskey, and talk about how they came about, what the different types are, why they're different, what the tasting notes are for this compared to this one, and try to, come up with the flavors that they try to put in these beers that a lot of times, if you weren't told this is what you should be looking for, you would miss it.
Yeah. And another thing is that we've had so many guys come up to us, reach out to us and say, hey, I didn't know how to feel about being Catholic and, liking to have a good whiskey at the end of the day, or even smoking a cigar. So when they find the show, it kind of is a relief to them that, oh,
it's okay.
Good, yeah. So these things are all right. It is okay if I want to smoke a cigar. Like,
right.
I don't need to go to confession for that or anything.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. The coffee that we're having, same Focus, dark roast.
Focus is spelled with a PH.
Yes, you can go to CatholicCoffeeClub.com and you can check out all their different roasts. They're absolutely... they have a couple other companies as well. They have a Catholic flower company.
Really?
Yeah, for flowers, all from I think Puerto Rico, if I remember correctly.
Huh.
So anyway, Google that. Google Catholic Coffee Club. It should be the first search result.
Okay.
It's really good.
I'll have to do. Can you find their flowers at that website as well?
I believe you can.
Okay.
I believe you can, or at least a way to get there.
Okay.
A way to get there. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of a technical difficulty with our phone here, phone situation.
So I went to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
For my honeymoon.
And
that was the best coffee I've ever had.
They have some really good coffee.
Absolutely phenomenal. I brought as much back as I could, but it didn't last long because I drank it.
Naturally.
Yeah. But I don't know why. Like, why is the coffee so much better there? I mean, sure, it's fresher, I guess, but how long does it take to get over here, you know?
I don't have those answers, man.
Put it on an airplane. Get it here quick.
I know I look like that I'm a man of all answers, but that's just not the case at times.
Clearly.
Clearly. So what's been your favorite part about End of the Breach so far? Like, I had these thoughts about End of the Breach before I got here.
So far, it's been interviewing Bishop Chaput.
Yeah, he is. That was awesome. The lineup, the guest speakers, the lineup is just phenomenal. I think that's probably one of the reasons why it's such a success here.
Yeah, I think so too. And the exhortation that Bishop Olmsted wrote is just the perfect compliment, I think, to go along with a conference like this, just because it's such a manly document.
Yeah.
It's packed full of testosterone and just like...
And we're really what we're called to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's really pushing us to live the life that we're really called to be, that society is telling us not to do.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, but while we're talking about coffee, I just want to say that I think decaf coffee is absolutely evil and should be banned from the country.
Well, it wouldn't hurt my feelings. I'll just say that. It wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Let's start a movement.
All right. All right.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. We'll be right back. David Niles. Sitting here with Adam Minahan, we are not in studio today. We are in the warm and beautiful Phoenix, Arizona in February.
2018. End of the Breach Conference.
It's been a fantastic day so far.
It really has. It's been so much fun. I can't believe, the conference, there's about almost 1,500 people here, isn't that what? I've heard 1,300 to 1,500 people here.
Yeah.
They put the tickets on sale, and within 2 hours, gone. Sold out. And so, I mean, it shows that men are thirsty to get together with like-minded men and challenge each other and grow together.
It also tells me that every single one of these guys is quick on the draw.
That is true. That is true, yeah, to be ready.
Every single one of you guys. Boom. Tickets. That's pretty fast.
Yeah, that is.
Not going to lie. So anyway, this is the second segment. We're going to highlight a man gear. Today we're talking about a fire pit. What exactly is manly about a fire pit? We picked that because our topic today is brotherhood. And a fire pit actually goes along with brotherhood very, very well. And in fact, a fire pit is kind of one of the things that helped start the show. Because, Adam, you and I would sit on your back porch next to the fire, smoke a cigar, maybe have a glass of whiskey, and we would just have these long conversations about faith. And, you know, at one point we said, hey, we should turn this into a show.
Right. Actually, yeah, I was like, hey, this is a good idea. What do you think? And you were like, okay, let's try it.
And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, so the fire pit, this idea was... we had thought out of it, but our buddy Juan, who, if you follow the show, Juan is our go-to. He's our best friend. He lives a mile away from us, and he is basically the Catholic Man Show roadie, if you will. Like, he gets us in the places where we're supposed to be there. He has all the equipment ready for us.
Faithful son of the Catholic Man Show.
Faithful son of the Catholic Man Show.
He's outside selling our T-shirts right now.
And our glasses.
Yeah. Yeah,
and hats.
By the way, if you guys want a Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass, if you like to drink whiskey, then you should be drinking them out of a Glencairn glass. And we have some with our logos on them outside. We have some here on the table as well. Laser etched with lasers.
Can it be laser etched without lasers?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Good question. I have the answer for that one. No.
Okay, good.
But anyway, we're talking about a fire pit today. A fire pit is one of those things that has the ability to bring people together, okay? There's just something about fire. Also, fire seems to facilitate conversation. You know, you get around the campfire or...
Or just mesmerization.
Yeah, it has a calming effect.
Is that a word? I don't know.
We're
mesmerizing.
We're just going to keep going.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea.
But it does. It has a calming effect, I think, on the people and puts you in a... Just kind of a good mood where you're open and ready to have conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, you know, you might not. It's sort of like having a good drink. So when you put the two together... It's just a really powerful combination.
It's dynamite.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know, we're talking about men, and we're talking about a fire pit. Back in the day, the men were in charge of, you know, obviously the community in general, and the warmth of the community was a very big part in it. And so the men were having to make, you know, to get the fire started.
Yeah.
What do you think happened when the men, like the first man? Like
lit a fire. I have no idea, but it was.
Can you imagine, like, and then everything that unfolds, you know, with that, like the heat, the heat of the fire, and then like cooking with fire, and
you know, they were probably familiar with it from just lightning, you know, forest fires. You know, a man had probably encountered fire before he learned to control it.
Right.
But learning to control it was certainly a big deal. You can cook your food.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you can eat a lot more stuff.
And there's just something about, you know, getting together with men in a campfire setting with no cell phones, you know, no computers,
yeah.
No video game, nothing, but just a fire, your brothers, conversation, maybe a good drink, and a smoke.
I recently went over to a buddy's house for like a guy's night, and the first thing that happened when we got there is he had a basket and made you put your cell phone in it.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, cell phones. And at first, I was kind of pissed about it. Like, no, you're not going to take my phone from me.
Right.
But he was adamant. Nope. Phone. And everybody else's phone was in there. So I was like, okay, fine.
I guess
but
I will.
Then it was awesome. Like, I felt better not having it on me. Anyway, that'd be a good man gear topic.
That would be a good
for another show.
Cell phone addiction. Cell phone addiction.
But... The fire pit, you know, not everybody can just build a fire ring in their backyard. So the fire pit is a really good solution to being able to have a fire if you have any yard at all.
Yeah, so are you a chimney guy? Are you a, like, fireplace guy, fire pit guy, bonfire guy? Like, I think there's a lot of different levels if you think about it.
Well...
What kind of guy are you? It's going to say a lot about you.
Like everybody likes a bonfire.
Yeah, I
but
do.
I'm
a big fan.
I like chimeneas, but I'm more of a fire pit guy. You know what I mean? Just because chimeneas, they put out heat in one direction,
mm-hmm.
but they don't promote a community. Like, if you have a fire pit, you can get a bunch of guys all around it. And so that kind of promotes the idea of brotherhood a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I would say I'm definitely more of a fire pit guy than a chimenea guy for that reason. Although chimeneas are also really nice. If you're out there by yourself, a chimenea is nice because it kind of guides all the heat in your direction.
Right.
So it just depends on what you're doing it.
I think I agree with you. I like the chimenea's aesthetics.
Yeah, they look nice.
They look nice.
Yeah.
But utility purposes for what I like to do with, you know, fire, which would be cultivate conversation, friends around it. I'm more of a fire pit guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I am too.
But bonfires, let me tell you, I'm a big fan of bonfires. Remember, so let me just, I got to tell this story really fast.
Okay.
Dave, you and I went over to Sam Guzman's house. If you don't know who Sam Guzman is, he's a great guy. He runs a blog called The Catholic Gentleman. And we went over to his house, and he lives kind of out there by Clear Creek Monastery. And he had this big bonfire ready to go, and we were like, should we light this thing? Like, because there was power lines higher. I don't know, how high do you think they were? Like,
no, 30 feet.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to guess. 30 feet up above him, we're like, nah, it won't get that big. So we like we light it, and all of a sudden it's flames go up, and we look up and we're like, that's getting really close to that power line up there.
Yeah, well, and there was also a tree up there, like a tree limb hanging over that looked like it was starting to light on fire.
Yeah.
And so we got out his hose, but he lives out in the country, so his water pressure wasn't very strong, and we couldn't reach the... Anyway, all worked out.
Nobody was damaged.
Everybody was
good.
Also, we just celebrated Candlemas.
Yes.
This last Friday, and so the tradition is that you keep your Christmas tree up till Candlemas. So this is really good Christmas tree fire season.
Ah, yes. Because have you lit? Yeah, lighting a dead tree,
especially a Christmas tree. Yeah.
Yeah, will engulf in flames.
My parents do that every year. They have the burning of the Christmas tree.
Oh, really?
It's excellent.
It's a tradition?
Yeah.
That is awesome. That is an awesome tradition.
Because you get 30-foot flames. I mean, that's certainly a possibility.
Right.
And that doesn't last very long, but...
No.
It is absolutely glorious.
Yeah.
Much too big for a fire pit.
Yes.
You need some space.
Yeah, for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So what has been some of your favorite times around a campfire? In general?
Oh, man. Definitely. So my family has a cabin in Michigan.
Okay.
And we go up there in the summer. It's nice weather, typically 60s, 70s, which is nice to get away from the heat.
Mm-hmm.
But...
So let me get this straight. You're going to Michigan in the summer and Phoenix in February.
You know, sometimes God smiles on you.
Well, that is definitely true.
So, yeah, up there, it's just, it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere at the base of this mountain with a lake. And it's just a lot of good fire memories out there, just cooking marshmallows right there on the water. It's very peaceful, very cool.
I think if you're a dad, it's a great, and you're wondering, how can I talk to my son about some of the important topics in life in general, you know, and just asking him how he's doing. One of the a great way to do it, you know, sometimes it's awkward, you know, to try to do that, I think, just to, hey, son, sit down, let's talk, let's get into a deep conversation.
Yeah.
I think that a fire pit facilitates that opportunity, that discussion, in a less awkward way, because men like fire, you know.
Yeah.
And it's something that's less... it's not very intimidating, you know, to talk about important topics and things that are maybe, like intimate topics.
Yeah, I think that's a really good suggestion to set the right atmosphere.
Right.
For the right conversation.
And that's why we do it with the men groups in general. You know, we set the right atmosphere in church with beautiful cathedrals. We set the right atmosphere, you know, in maybe your library to read books with books all around you. We try to do things and set the atmosphere to cultivate what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So the fireplace does that for brotherhood, for getting men together and having a conversation.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. We were just kind of talking about that with Father Sean earlier about... Mm-hmm. Making sure to have those talks at the right time.
Yep. So, anyway, when we get back, we're going to jump into the man topic. We're here today at the End of the Breach Conference here in Phoenix, Arizona. Dave, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I know a lot of guys have asked us, where did you come up with that phrase, we're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass? That is not something we came up with. It was too good for us to come up with. Our show is called The Catholic Man Show. Not very creative. You know, so the author of that quote is actually Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. He's probably drinking some kind of Hefeweizen or something.
Could
be my guess.
Could be.
Some kind of lager. German beer.
From a Stein.
So we kind of we took that and made it kind of our slogan for the show. This is it. Because we partake in some drinks and enjoy being on the Lord's team, which is indeed the winning side.
Indeed.
Logically, it all felt like checked off that this is good.
I mean.
So anyway, we just got done talking about the fire pit. That was the man gear for this week's episode. Our drink today is St. Focus Dark Roast by Catholic Coffee Club. Go check out Catholic Coffee Club, catholiccoffeeclub.com.
I don't know St. Focus.
I don't either. I wish I did. I wish I would have done a little bit of research on them. But
he or she sounds like a really good saint for coffee.
Yes, Focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. It's a clean, rich, earth tones and bold finish.
Indeed.
The tasting notes are for this coffee. They were kind enough to give us over 200 samples for all of you men to enjoy. So feel free to come on up here and grab some samples of coffee. It's a really good coffee. So we've now checked off the list, the drink, the gear, and now we embark on the topic.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good topic for here at the men's conference. Talking about brotherhood. Brotherhood is, I would say, the unofficial topic of every men's conference.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah, like, whether it's a religious men's conference or not, if it's a men's conference, it's about brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's such a fundamental, foundational, almost unseen element.
Right.
Of relationships, you know, so... I'm excited to be talking about it today. One thing that I think is one of the missions of this show is to encourage men's groups.
Mm-hmm.
To encourage people to be getting together weekly, monthly, whatever it is, in order that you might be there for, you know, the guys around you who are in your circle, so that you guys can help hold each other accountable, because when men have accountability like that, they rise to the occasion.
Right.
I know that I always respond to, if I have a duty to do something, or I'm much more likely to do it. And I don't even really think about not doing it, because it's like, well, I have to. It's just,
right,
just what I have to do.
Right.
You know, and so when you have that element in a relationship, especially, you know, brothers around you, then living the spiritual life becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the devil has done a really good job. One of his main tactics that the devil uses is a divide and conquer tactic.
Yeah.
And he's been doing that since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Even from the divide and conquer of husband and wife.
Right.
With Adam and Eve. So the devil has done a really good job of dividing each man, making them think that they're alone in this battle. You know, making them feel like that... I'm all alone. I'm kind of falling into despair because no one else is carrying this cross like I am. Like, no one can relate to what's going on in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, no one else is having these same struggles.
Right. And that's just absolutely false.
Right.
Don't fall into that narrative, because that is absolutely not true. And so when we come to these conferences together, it's so much fun to see, you know, you get 1,500 people, all from all different ages. You get, dads bringing their 11-year-old sons, all with their grandparents, you know, bringing their grandfather. That's what, you know, my dad did for the men's conferences, is my grandpa, my dad, and myself all going to the men's conferences together. So it's so cool to see all these generations coming together to do this, to build this tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the things that's interesting is that when we're at these men conferences and we realize at some point, okay, hey, I'm not alone. There are other guys here. You kind of get excited, right? You kind of get an emotional high from these talks.
Yeah.
You know, from the talks that are given, from the conversations that you've had with other men. You get this excitement. You know, you get this fire lit with underneath you. Fire pit.
Nice. Nice.
You like that? So you get this excitement going. And one of the things that happens after these conferences is that you get back into your day-to-day life. You go back to work. You go back to being a husband. You go back to being a father. And it's hard to keep that fire lit. Sometimes the monotony of life sometimes dampers the fire that's lit with underneath you.
Yeah.
And so the importance of taking what you learn at a men's conference like this, you know, from Into the Breach conference, the importance of taking what you've learned and developing this group of men around you to continue cultivating that fire, to continue growing that fire, is extremely important. Otherwise, it's going to go away, and you're back to square one, and then it's a peak and valley situation, peak and valley, peak and valley.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not even hard to do. You know, getting together in these kind of men's groups typically is easy to get men to do, because you're going to do the stuff that they want to do anyway. You know, get together, have a drink, maybe smoke a cigar or a pipe.
Well, I mean, it's obviously easy. If we can do it, literally, I think anybody can do it.
Yeah, but I think it's easy to motivate other men to be there as well, just because,
right.
You know, how often do you get a chance to do that anyway? So having those activities all put together, which all are, you know, smoking a pipe or a cigar, that's another thing that helps facilitate conversation. So
right. You're
there, maybe with a fire, with a drink, all there together, and you just end up, it doesn't matter where the conversation starts, you always end up at the place where, you know, you're all being there for each other and helping talk about the struggles that you're going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my experience, it's 100% of the time that you end up in that kind of conversation.
Right. Yeah, because there's not a lot of outlets for men. There's not a lot of places that men can go to be with other men to talk about, you know, the struggles in life, the successes that they've had in life, you know, everything that's going on in their world and how to get advice for certain things.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting how it seems like this grassroots movement of men getting together and joining together is kind of coming out, even in the secular world. They're finally figuring out, I think, even in the secular world, like, hey, I think men need to get together and be together.
Yeah.
And a perfect example is a barber shop. You know, my great-grandfather was the first barber in Seminole, Oklahoma.
Sweet.
And so he cultivated this atmosphere of men coming in and having a conversation, talking about what's going on in the world, talking about what struggles you're going through. And, you know, the barbershop movement seems also to be kind of growing and coming back into style. Because
yeah.
I think it's not necessarily the barbershop, it's the experience. It's another outlet for men to be able to come together and just talk.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. There's also something virtuous about going to a barber shop. I don't really know what it is. You know, maybe it's patience, because a lot of times they don't take reservations. You show up.
It's a walk-in.
And get in line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that element of just showing up and getting in line, and then you just talk to the guy next to you. You know, that's kind of like the manly elements to it anyway.
Yeah.
And it also helps. One thing that frustrates me is that men today often don't know how to just have a conversation. And it's not just men. I think it's people in general. The art of conversation has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversations that people have today tend to be parallel conversations where, oh, you say something and then, like, oh, I went on a trip. And then I would say, oh, I went on a trip. You know, just paralleling your story.
Right.
You know, and I think maybe not on purpose, but it kind of turns into like, can I one-up your story?
Yeah.
But it also just makes the conversation like constantly.
No, wait, let me tell a story really fast.
It makes
fast.
It about me.
Right.
Instead of like, oh, you went on a trip, why don't I ask you a question about that, you know,
right.
or find out more about it to grow the conversation. So anyway, going to the barber shop is just one as a good practice.
Right.
Good place to put all those skills to the test. And who knows, you might be able to, you know, if it's one of those places where you can start up a good conversation with someone, maybe you could have a conversation about a good topic like your faith.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be too hard to steer the conversation in that way.
Well, you have the opportunity to talk to people who don't have the same background as you do.
Right.
You know, may not have the same views as you do.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Yeah, and so living in the Catholic faith, being a Catholic man, your faith is going to come out in every aspect of what you do as a man. And so regardless of what topic you guys talk about, you're going to be able to at some point, you know, advocate the virtue or advocate, you know, the Christian belief of in some facet.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
You think that's right?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you do. So maybe when we get back, we'll talk about how, like, the different types of groups we can have, how to cultivate those groups, and the importance of them.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. I'm David Niles, sitting here with Adam Minahan. Once again, we are at the 2018 End of the Breach Men's Conference here in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm glad they have this conference in February and not July.
Yes.
Anyway, yes. We're talking about brotherhood. I think we were going to transition to talking about the different kind of groups.
Yes, sorry, I was in the process. Social media today is tough. It's like you have to remember to do things all the time to document what's going on.
I know.
And I'm sorry, I was trying to do that. I'm
trying to do a radio show.
I know, I'm
and
sorry.
You're on your phone.
And I'm on my phone. That's not manly. Okay, so I think that, Dave, some of the things that we do, let's talk about just some of the groups that we have.
Okay.
Not to be self-centered, but just because the guys who have told us to start these groups and how to start them, it seems to be effective. And so maybe you can you can implement these ideas. So, yeah, absolutely. Catholic Coffee Club, check them out. So the first thing, there's different settings, there's different things to, different groups for different, that cultivate different topics, different conversations. One of the first groups we had, and we've done this for about 6 years now, is every Tuesday morning, you, myself, Scott, Juan, and Chad get together, and we read something of importance.
Yeah. So we went through the theology of the body.
Yep.
We went through. Now we're on to the catechism.
Yeah, because I was like, why have we not read through the catechism yet? That's one of those things, that the catechism that I use as a reference all the time, never read it front to back.
Yeah.
And so this is a great opportunity for us. So anyway, every Tuesday morning, we get together at about 6:30, 6:45, 7 if you're Scott, and and read just a little section of the catechism, read a little section of theology of the body, and then talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk about how it affects our life.
Yeah, but we always try to make room for the conversation, because I think that's the important part is, what's going on in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It took us 5 years to get through the theology of the body.
It was a long time.
Something like that, just because, we couldn't necessarily read a whole lot, just because discussing our lives with each other was the more important part.
Well, and let's be honest, more importantly, JP2 doesn't necessarily write in an easy way to read.
Yeah, yeah. It's not
it was
a simple,
more dense.
Yeah, it's not a simple thing.
Right.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
We did get through it.
We did get through it. And it was
and we're better
awesome.
Men because of it.
But it does give you the opportunity to get together before work. I know that Tuesday mornings, for me, it's still a struggle for me to get up and make that sacrifice. There's a lot of times I'm like, I don't want to do this. Not because I don't want to hang out with you guys or read, or but it's just I'm tired.
Yeah, you're not finished with your Josephite meditation.
That's right. Yeah. Sleeping. But every time I leave there, I'm like, I'm really glad I did this.
Me too. Yeah, I always look forward to Tuesdays. Tuesday mornings are my favorite just because we all get together.
Right.
So yeah, I think that having a weekly group
is important.
Is a fantastic idea, and I recommend it to everybody. Also, I think that the more frequently you're going to be getting together as a group, the more intimate the group should be. So, you know, don't get together every week with 12 people. You can if you want, but I would recommend a smaller number of people right. where you can have more intimate conversation. And
five, six and under.
Right, yeah, something like that. Something that's manageable. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it just, I'm not sure it's as productive.
Right.
Then maybe on your monthly meeting, it could be a little bit, include more people.
Right, yeah.
I also think it's important to have, some of the groups we're in are not necessarily Catholic. I mean, they're almost all Catholic, but they're open to anybody who wants to come.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important, like, depending on where you are in your faith, to start off with a Catholic group.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, so that way you can have that
firm foundation.
The reinforcement
right.
that you need to go out into the world, so to speak.
Into the breach.
Yeah, into the breach. Nice.
Yes.
Nice. And so we started, well, we didn't start one, but we started going to one. Our buddy Ken got started where we get together. We it's called Spirits and Smokes. That's what we called it. Get together, we smoke a cigar, drink whiskey, and just talk about our spirituality.
Right.
And I don't know how long ago did we start doing that? 4 years?
Three or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I mean.
Probably 4 years ago.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that setting is typically in the evening time, and with, you know, somewhere, another great opportunity would be to invite your priest to that group.
Yeah.
We have two priests that typically come, but because one, priests enjoy that. They're men. They enjoy.
Right. They want to smoke a cigar, too.
Right, yeah. So you can typically find a priest who'd be willing to do that. And it's more of it's a bigger group. You know, it's more like 8 to 10.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah, maybe 12.
Yeah, maybe 12. But
don't want it to get too big.
No.
Because otherwise, what ends up happening when you have a group that's too big is instead of having a conversation,
you have eight different conversations.
Or you have like two or three, conversations. And it's like, oh, I'm not sure what they're talking about over there.
Right.
You know, and you want to really all be together having one conversation.
Right.
So I think if conversation is splitting into multiple ones, that's a sign maybe your group is too big.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good point, especially if you're trying to start a group.
Yeah.
Dave, you know, it's funny, when we first started the idea of getting together as men and having, you know, a dram and maybe smoking a cigar or your pipe and having a conversation, I had to tell my wife, like, this is what I'm going to do. And at first, I thought that it was going to be a really tough sell.
Oh, yeah?
You know, because it's like, listen, I'm sorry, I know you've been keeping the kids all day and I know you're exhausted, but I'm going to go off and smoke a cigar and drink some whiskey with my buddies. You know, for a couple hours.
Right.
You know, I thought it was going to be a tough sell, but it turns out that my wife absolutely loves when I go because she says I come back in a better mood. I come back and, like, she says, even as a better husband and father.
Yeah, my wife has said the exact same thing to me. And I can tell it's true. I mean, I do come back.
In a better mood.
Energized.
Refreshed.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like anything you need, honey.
Right.
You know, I'm ready. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm just less, I try to maintain that attitude, but I'm less excited about it,
right.
You know, at other times. I mean, it's just kind of the way you go.
It's human nature sometimes.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, stuff like this conference, you can take the principles of a men's conference like this and then just break them down into these smaller groups.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think they're both important because they serve different roles.
Right.
You know? Whereas here, you know, we're not getting into the intimate details of anybody's lives.
Right.
You can do that in the, you know, the smaller groups. It's good. And then another thing you can do, it doesn't have to be just for men. I think you could also have like a small faith group.
Families.
Yeah, just get together with other Catholic couples
mm-hmm.
who are, you know, similar to you. If you have kids, look for another couple that has kids.
Yes. I think that's really important to surround yourself with people who are of the same, same faith, same moral background.
Same place. Cycle in life. Yeah, because it's not just about you, but if you have kids, your kids need other kids to play with as well, and you want to start offering them those relationships so that they can grow up with Catholic friendships.
Yeah. So a couple ways, if you're sitting here thinking, I'm like, well, I don't know how to start one. I don't have a group of friends that I can start one with. A couple suggestions.
Lay them on me.
One, ask our mother to send you somebody.
Okay.
I think that like...
I can get down with that.
Christ wants us to be, together. And our mother wants us to grow together.
Yeah.
And so sometimes all you have to do is ask.
Yeah.
And so if, just a simple prayer of, Lord, I ask that you put somebody in my life. Mother, put somebody in my life that'll help me grow closer to your son.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
She's not going to fail you.
Yeah. No, she won't.
So that's one way. I think also almost every parish, not every parish, but a lot of parishes have men's groups in general, like the parish men's group. If you're not going to
like
that,
the men's club.
Yeah. If you're not going to that, start going to that. You're going to be able to meet some people of like mind. You're going to be able to meet some people in your parish. Maybe people you've seen across the pews for the last 8 years and have never said hello to.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good suggestion.
Yeah, because sometimes it could be awkward, like after Mass, if you just walk up to somebody like, hey, let's be friends.
Right.
Also your Knights of Columbus.
Knights of Columbus is a great one.
So if you're not going to your Knights of Columbus, there you go.
There's another one.
There'd be a plenty of men there.
Right. And then, almost every state, I think, has a men's conference, a Catholic men's conference. Google whatever state you're in and look up if there's a men's conference around you. I think that most states do. I don't know how big they are, but that's another good way. Look at all these men out here today who there's going to be friendships forged here that wouldn't have been otherwise.
Totally. Totally.
So anyway, we're running up to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody from the End of the Breach conference for having us out here. It's been so much fun. I've had a great time.
And it's not over. It's only half over.
Yeah. So I want to thank them. I want to thank the Catholic Coffee Club, catholiccoffeeclub.com, for giving us this coffee and giving the coffee to you guys as samples. That was very nice of them. So anyway, I think that's it, right?
I think that's it. Send us your best fire pit story.
Yes, do that. Follow us on Facebook and all the social media platforms. Give us an iTunes review if you can. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.